What's up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Mom, I'm just so happy. I'm over here smiling at my mom. She's just smiling back at me.
We thought we were done, and then
we wanted to keep talking.
Because I relayed on what I did with your dogs this weekend.
Dude, I got a wiener dog, right?
She freaking raining. We got 4 inches of rain, and that dog will not go outside to go potty. So I got out the umbrella.
She held in an umbrella for...
So he could potty without getting wet.
Anyways, guys, this is Brittany Scovel, and you are watching another episode of Reloading with Brittany Scovel. So this episode, we're going to talk about just like management, business side of influencing and social media. And I want to talk about how like a lot of people just make fun of influencers and make fun of me simply just because I'm an influencer and that's what I do. Like... Because that's not a real job.
I think that's your perception. I don't think they make fun of you. I think you feel that way. I think people don't understand what you do. And there's a lot of jealousy.
Yeah. I mean,
flat out, I have a neighbor.
And that's very cliche to say that, you know, they're just jealous. It's probably because they are. Like, no, I wake up whenever I want.
He legit said he was jealous because you are living the life that he would like to be living. You are hunting. You're going on these trips and you're doing these things. He goes, I'm jealous.
You said it took him that long to admit it?
Yeah. And he was a little drunk when he admitted that he was jealous. But
well, just like a good example, and this shit just pisses me off. Like, dad's friends, for example. One of his friends, every time I see him, he's always like saying, and I know he's genuine about it. Like, I know he's not trying to do it to, you know, make fun of me or whatever, but he just makes it sound as if everything's handed to me, like, oh, you get free shit sent to you all the time. No, I get product to review. I see that being a lot of work, not free shit.
Yeah, most people even...
And they just don't get it.
Even those close to you have no idea how much time you put into this and what goes on behind the scenes, for sure.
The first thing they'll say is, you don't have a 9-to-5, you've never worked a day in your life, it's not work.
No.
It really is, it's what they say.
You're self-employed and you don't have hours, that means you're on 24/7.
I was telling somebody, okay, last summer I talked to somebody, Austin had made a comment about someone who had been working a lot in the summer, and Austin's like, hey, what are you doing tonight? You want to like drink? And it's like a Wednesday night. And we live at, you know, there's people everywhere. Like, it's a big community here. We have got a lot of friends. And the guy just kind of laughed and smirked. And I'm like, oh, this guy thinks that Austin is just like somebody who drinks beer and makes videos. I'm like, this guy just scuffed and turned Austin down. But just stuff like that. Like, I don't think you realize that we actually work more than you do.
I think you're going to get to the point where it's not your job to educate the uneducated. Your job is a true job and a true business that even businesses are starting to be educated on how to use you in today's world of marketing. And it's not your job to educate the uneducated. You know what you do. You're proud of what you're doing. You're confident what you're doing. It's not your job to educate.
And it's working.
Yeah. You just got to brush it off. It's just like anything else. I mean, just like me and taxidermy, you know, why does it take you a year to do it? Because you're not my only customer. And right. I've got 15 steps to get here, and there's processing and chemical. And it's like, gosh.
You should hear how
I feel
many...
like it's not my job. It's not my job. It is kind of my job to educate them to a certain point because they're like, okay, we dropped it off. Is it done now?
And I guess that's what social media is for. Like, if you want to know, go to Facebook. Go to the website.
Yeah.
And you do a good job about that. She gets so many calls from grown men all the time. Like, is my deer done yet? Is my deer done yet?
And I go and look, you just dropped that off a month ago. No, no,
like,
your deer's not physically done.
You still have another 9 months, dude. Chill.
Yeah.
Needy.
I wait all year for your one deer to do. That's going to deprive me income for 12 months.
Shut the fuck up.
Whole nother story. But the business side of it. So we kind of ended the last one as to why you weren't going. And
to Stagecoach. We're talking about why I didn't want to go or whatever.
And it's educating yourself and growing as a person too in this industry and how to work with a manager and how to work with... I mean, you basically have employees now as
I do. I don't work for management. Management works for me.
Yes.
So they are technically my employees.
That is something that you and I were talking about. I was like, you guys need to work together, but they are really working for you, not vice versa. And the harder you want to work, the more the management team needs to work for you.
Yes.
To bring to
yes.
You. And there's some work. So we had a kind of going around in the conversation and going back to the employees that you have a virtual assistant. So that I think was a big turning point for you to get organized and to be accountable. Not that you weren't, but to be better accountable. And then knowing, and this is kind of where it was coming back to, where how did the management team fit in? Now that you've been working with a virtual assistant and you're doing...
say Olivia. Olivia's my assistant.
Olivia, and then the podcast production. So she's basically an employee too.
Abby.
And how now does management fit into this equation? And for me, I kept asking, where are you making your money? Where are you spending your time to get the most bang for your buck? And you really couldn't answer that. And you're doing better. I think Olivia is helping pinpoint that.
Because she has all my, you know...
Yes.
She has everything. She has access to everything.
Are these coming from management? Are they coming from what Olivia has pulled from businesses that have emailed you and messaged you? Are they stuff that you've worked with directly? So finding out where your sources are and where to focus your time was important. So when Stagecoach came up, my question to you, I knew a flight to California was going to be expensive. Austin has a great job that he loves and they value him. And he was going to have to now take time off from that job. So it was really weighing, is this going to be financially worth it to make a big investment of time and money to do?
Yeah.
It was initially, well, they kept talking about product and this was going to be sent to you and like clothing. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Brittany, but you got enough clothing.
Even I was like that. I was like, the fuck no.
The clothing and the jewelry, that's great. But what are you going to do with it? You're going to wear it once. You're going to show it.
I'm going to end up donating it.
Yes. Which you appreciate. It's fun.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I appreciate it so much.
I appreciate that stuff, too. They're gifts. Yes. Who doesn't appreciate a gift? But was that going to be worth it for you to fly, the expense of flying, and Austin taking time off his job? And leaving your pets and your family. So that was a question. And I think management had their own struggles with that with you personally.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
So finally you had a conversation.
With management.
So you could clear what was your struggles and what was their struggles.
Yeah, I don't know, lately, like the past couple of months, just stuff was not flowing with them. I feel like everything... I would say there's definitely been a shift in my social, like what I post. I'd say it's more hunting for sure. Instagram. And that's what I wanted. I want to work with hunting brands and camo brands and gun brands. Like that's my lifestyle. That's who I am. That's what I do. That's how I was raised. So I just really invested my time and focus on being in the outdoors and trying to get brands or any kind of like tag or presence to management. Because when I had asked, you know, management about like hunting brands or camo brands, they were reaching out to the wrong people. They were reaching out to like Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's. That's not who you want to reach out to. You want to reach out to the bow shop down the street or the catfishing angler that guides at Lake Rathbun. And I don't expect them to know those things. But if I throw it their way, nothing was ever getting followed through. I wasn't making money. Yeah, I just felt like I was put onto the back burner. Like everything that I stressed with them initially was not being promised.
Yes, it felt like they weren't following through and kind of ignoring you. And I wouldn't say that those companies and those corporations were the wrong thing to pitch you at. Because once you had that conversation, they actually couldn't pitch you to some of those bigger corporations. And that was because some of those guns, hunting.
Are you talking about Remington?
Well, no. Just like some of like Cabela's. I think companies, some of those bigger corporations are scared of the fallout of like the Bud Light. They couldn't pitch you because companies didn't want, because you're cussing
and guns. Oh, yeah.
And your lifestyle didn't.
That's what they said. So
these big companies are super worried of having a fallout like the Bud Light and the Dylan whatever person that they had on there. And that's a legit concern as a big company, but it doesn't make sense. I mean, we're talking a hunting business. Guns are part of it.
Right.
But yet they're too, I don't know.
I just want to, I've always wanted to stay true to myself. So the cussing, the waking up in the morning looking like shit, not caring what I look like, or talking about the drama and giving my side of what I think, because it just needs to be smushed. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's who I am and that's who I want to remain. But it's really hard to align myself with brands.
With the bigger brands.
With the bigger brands, like guns. You know, they said a big thing. A lot of brands don't want to work with people who have guns or post guns. Well, that's an issue for me because I am now sponsored under a big ammunition and firearm company.
So management was pitching you and the companies were telling you no. They were pitching you. They were doing their job. But the companies were telling management no because you post about guns or you swear or you have dead animals in your posts.
Also to say, I'm actually kind of offended over this because at Stagecoach, this is funny because he thinks, basically he said one night, this is how I took it. All I'm known for is being the bitch that went to Africa and is canceled for being a racist. That's how he sees me.
Ooh.
But that's interesting. That's an interesting take.
Is that just one person or do you think that's more widespread?
I mean, it's probably a lot of people, but that's kind of really shitty for him to think that. That's all I am.
And because you feel like you know him. I mean,
I literally told him, that's how the conversation started out. I said, hey, we were all just all talking. I'm like, hey, I've always said this, bad publicity is good publicity.
Yep.
I have always said that. And he said, no, not when you go to Africa and get canceled for being called a racist. And I'm like, what? How can you even say that? I got pissed.
That's uneducated. That's still the uneducated. And it's not your job to educate them. So that's kind of weeding out.
Very, very fair.
If a friend knows you, or a person, an acquaintance knows you, I wouldn't call him a friend, but he's definitely an acquaintance or a coworker in your world, of judging you that way and not understanding that. Yeah. You did not go out to get the bad publicity. You were not the racist. You were not the racist.
I literally went.
You, like, we.
Instead of going to the internet of untrusted sources, I went to the source of the locals, and I got fucking flamed on the internet for it.
We were victims of racism.
Every single day.
We were the victims of racism there. And when we got back. So... Oh, that's a whole nother topic. So
we could talk about it.
And that's part of maturing and knowing. I think he's a good person and he's in your circle.
Yes, I wouldn't trade him for the world, but that's
kinda,
fuck you.
It's kind of sad fucked. That he didn't understand or at least ask you.
Exactly.
For a clarification.
I was like, do you seriously see me as being the bitch that got canceled from South Africa? And that's basically what he said. And I'm like,
let's talk about where you've gone since South Africa and the doors that have opened in the hunting world.
I was going to say this back, but I didn't want to sound too cocky. And I'm like, I have so many more opportunities presented in front of me than you do or you will ever.
Yeah.
See, I feel so cocky sounding like that.
South Africa wants you back. We're just not going to tell you who, when, or why.
Yeah. I told him that. And he's like, you'd be so stupid. And I'm like, you haven't been there.
It's amazing.
You have to go. You are not me. Like,
I would go back. I'm not stupid
either. Like, I know right from wrong. And I don't know. My safety has always been scarce since South Africa. But I'm not stupid.
Yeah. So back to the leading question or the leading statement as to why you almost resigned. So you had these concerns about Stagecoach. I had my concerns with your safety because we didn't know if Austin would actually attend with you. I couldn't afford to go. And so we were really having some hard conversations of where does management fit in? And festivals like this is really not your niche anymore. Or is it? So you had a conversation that was eye-opening, I think.
Keep talking. I'll pull it up.
I was in the room. I was sitting right next to her. She was on speaker. I tried to be quiet, but I guess I wasn't very quiet sometimes. that's kind of the mom of me. So Brittany received some hard criticism from her manager. Truthful criticism. And a lot of people, I feel, especially your age group, cannot take criticism or feedback. They take offense to it instantly and want to deflect that onto somebody else and blame something or somebody else for why you're at fault.
Somebody else is always at fault.
Yes. And I'm watching Brittany's reactions. So Brittany's reactions hearing this news was she was pissed.
I wanted to hang up.
She was pissed. I'm done. She turned her tablet over, set her pen down, and she's like,
fuck this.
She was pissed. And then I'm like, shh, just sometimes you just gotta let people talk. Let them talk it out. So I'm giving her just let her talk. And the more she talked, her manager was giving her the criticism from a sincere heart, from a sincere place. She truly wants to work for you.
Succeed. She wants to see me succeed.
See you succeed. But her struggle was the criticism that she gave.
Saying it nicely.
Was that, Brittany, you cuss.
Yes.
And you're a hunter. And those are things that some of these companies can't put themselves at risk for. And you listen, and I could see your face kind of calm down. And then I could see the wheels spinning. Okay, how do I do it differently but still stay true to myself? Or how do I work with companies that appreciate, or this is their brand also? And I think you're still working through that.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
Of what, like Remington is on point for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the guns, and that's, you've got to find those companies, and sometimes you got to educate those companies as to who you are and why you're the right influencer for them or why you're not.
Mm-hmm. And we always knew that. I always knew that, like, McKinsey had suggested, like, when we were pretty new into the contract, like, hey, you would probably get more brands, like, this is initially, before not even knowing, so pretty fresh in the contract. She's like, if you cuss less, you know, brands will probably pick up on that, or we'll pitch you to more brands, because brands don't like cussing. So I kind of filtered through the cussing, and I still kind of did, and I always heard it from my dad, but I never heard it from management. I guess I didn't understand why I wasn't really getting anything at all, or like why the things that we had talked about or the brands that I had brought forward to them never followed through. And I still wonder, there's still brands that I've pitched to them that I've wondered like what has happened, or like events, like that journal, what happened to that journal?
And I think that's something that management took from feedback from you, is they're going to let you know. Okay, we did try, and this was the feedback from that company. So after that conversation, I think you and your management both aligned, and then you actually spent time together at Stagecoach, and I think you're even more in line. I think part of being a business owner, which you are, that people forget about, is constantly growing and changing and staying on top of the trends and the fashions and the technology and the communication, constantly growing. Me personally, I was in a bad rut this last winter. I hated my job. Hated it. Business I've had for 22 years. I've lost the joy. My reason for doing it was gone. And I did not have the time anymore to reinvest in my business. And now I've been doing some of the Zoom calls, and I was part of the Goldman Sachs 10,000 small businesses. And then I have discovered there's a grant. I'm applying for a grant, a small business. Yes, I am.
Good.
It's open today. So I was at a point where I either needed to grow my business, expand it, or scale it back. And I was really ready to scale it back. But now that I'm starting to...
I really thought that you were going to.
Yeah. Now that I'm starting to find some of these education classes and the marketing, which the marketing is starting to really push influencers and affiliates. So I've been really excited about that. My spark is starting to come back. And it's still
good.
It's still taxing me. It's still business. I'd still rather
good
be retired, but it's giving me a little bit more purpose. So plus it's not my busy season. So not quite as busy.
Yeah.
But that's for you. I mean, you're 22. You've got a lot of learning. You've got a lot of transitioning and a lot of pivots and different trends, and you got to be open to that and open to that criticism, that feedback always. And that's hard.
My mom texted me after we had that meeting. She's like, I just want to tell you, I love you. I'm proud of you. And I'm like, what's she telling me this for? And I was like, oh, like she really appreciated my reaction to how I handled management, because we really thought the both of us were going to go into that phone call resigning from the contract, because I just was, they Parting weren't living ways. Up to what I don't know that. I feel like with influencers and social media, there's so many brands out there. There's so many opportunities. It's endless. Like, you don't ever stop searching. Everything is constantly changing. You got to, like you said, stay up with the trends. It's exhausting.
Yeah. My dream.
Wait, I'm going to say this real quick. It's exhausting. And I work, all of my money comes from this little device on my phone. A lot of people get mad at me, and I've lost many friendships because I don't respond very well. I'm not good to communicate with. I don't like being on my phone. It's really hard for me to respond to. It's hard for me to do the work that I have to do throughout the day. And then on top of that, you just have, like, you know, the friends that, which is fine. You know, I still have the normal life, but just like the little nitpick emails, calls, texts, or stuff that is outside of so-and-so work. And I never get to it. I just leave it there because I think it's not that big of a deal. If they need to get to me, they'll reach out again. But how many times does somebody have to reach out to me?
Yeah. And we've learned, those of us that need to get a hold of you know how to get a hold of you, or yeah, be persistent to do that. But same struggles I have, because my being a small business owner and having it out of my home for so many years, there's no shutdown.
24/7.
No shutdown. And that is exhausting. Exhausting.
I wish you guys could have seen her. Like, growing up, she's a powerhouse. You really are. You're a jack of all trades too. Like, you do. You garden. You know stuff about plumbing. You could probably fix my toilet. You'd probably reface my front door. You're a wizard. You know everything. You're very smart and intelligent.
What I would like to do, my next, I've got several dream jobs.
I know it.
I would.
Or maybe I don't know it.
If it didn't affect, and I would always be worried about it because I've learned working with family is tough, and that can be a hard on relationships. I would be your business. I don't know what that would be. I think you still need the personal assistant, but I think there's so many different avenues where you can, that's not even touched. Not even like, touched.
Even taxes, finances, like even that side.
I would pass that off. But I would.
Oh, shit.
I think.
Going bigger.
You need a website. And I think it's time to educate businesses on how to use influencers.
Okay.
I really think to
sell a course or something, or like to use this podcast to incorporate it.
Yes. I mean, businesses don't know. Okay. So for instance, at Goldman Sachs, so their speaker is Hawk, H-A-W-K-E marketing. And they're an online, they're a CMO. I can't remember what it is, but anyways, they're working with cannabis companies are big now, big. And they have a hard time marketing them because they cannot go on the traditional resources. So this is a very in your face. We've got to find a different way of marketing because I cannot market cannabis on radio or TV commercials or on newspaper ads. So they were really pushing you find the right influencer, that is one way to get their product out. And not only is it brand awareness, but it's point of sales.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all in one. It was like, that was a huge eye opener for that business. But then there's other businesses. So I'm on this Zoom call. And they're like, well, that's great if you have an online a product to sell. And I'm like, you don't need a product to sell to use an influencer.
No, you don't.
Bring them to your
event.
Bring them to your service that you're providing. If it's pedicures, give them a pedicure.
Give them a pedicure.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different ways. And it may cost the company or it may not. And that was the education for me, is like, for a business, if I'm going to give you a product or bring you in and give you a service, then I've taken myself out of any sort of control or the result.
Yeah.
So what you do with it or don't do with that product or service is in your hands.
Yeah, it's very crucial.
And that's hard.
And picking the right influencers for that too, because there's some shitty influencers out there that don't live up to the right expectations. And there's also a lot of small business and brands that take everything to heart and take everything offensively.
Yes.
So I love small businesses. I will always support small businesses.
But that's where they need to start paying you.
Yes.
So if invest a business wants to
invest the money in it,
if they want some investment, if they want some control over,
like, what gets
the
posted,
outcome.
How many videos, like,
you need to be hired.
I always make,
like, you give yourself away.
I do.
Way too much. And
that's because I just really respect and like the brands that I work with. I'm too scared to ask them for money because I feel like they've already done so much for me. But then again, I need to know my worth.
You need to respect
back
yourself.
To self-love.
Respect yourself and respect the industry and the business that you are.
I hear that a lot.
Because people don't realize and don't appreciate you as a business.
Mm-hmm.
You are a business.
Yeah.
So that's what I would like to do. And that, yeah, that would take
so
some time.
So then what would you be? What would you call yourself?
I don't know. I'd be this.
What would you replace?
I'd be the CEO.
CEO of Brittany Scoble.
I would run your ass.
you want to plan my wedding for me, Mom?
I would love to just sit back and just say, you do that, you do this, you do this, you do this. That's my job.
I'd love it, too, because you could come on all the trips with me.
I do kind of sneak away like from your trips when I can.
She does. Yeah. Whenever Austin isn't available.
I know. Austin gets first dibs. He's more fun.
No, because you guys always want... Trust me.
He wears the fun clothes.
He does.
I mean, what is with those shirts?
He wore the most ridiculous button-ups.
But you know what?
Banana button-up.
The banana with the... He cut off the sleeve. So at first I thought, I'm like,
with
oh my God.
Jorts, Mom. Jorts, too.
I'm like, he did not pack that.
In LA.
And actually take it and wear it. Was my first reaction. And then I'm like, that's funny, because I'm smiling. He got a reaction of like, oh my God, he did not. And then I'm like, yes, he did. I cannot believe he's doing that.
I can believe it.
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
So, I mean, that was a good marketing move for him, because it got a reaction out of me.
See? And now he needs to find, like, fun printed shirts like that that has bandanas or,
I don't know. He needs to wear Weenie Dog on his shirt.
Weenie Dog with an umbrella over top.
Yes. And that's what businesses are, they're just missing out on. So, yeah, I think everybody's evolving and learning, and that was a good learning point for you.
Going to Stagecoach.
And you're going to have a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a lot more hard conversations with management and your team members, and that's not ever going to go away.
So to wrap up with this episode, I would say if you are watching this, I really want to hear feedback on this episode. I think more so than any. Let me know if you are a business or if you know a small business, and my socials are out there. So if you want to reach out to me with any questions that you have, or if you're wondering how you can work with me to boost your brand, let me know. Yeah. So just let me know. My business email should be in my bio, but if you want to get a hold of my personal, just it's thescovilles1@gmail.com. You have anything else to say, Mama?
No, not at the moment.
Okay.
I will as soon as we hang up.
Oh, as soon as we hang up. Okay. All right, guys, this is all we have time for today. I think we need to definitely do an episode about cannabis. Get some kind of...
The CEO is going to come out. You're not doing that until there is a company that contacts her to pay her to be promoted, because you would be the first and the only company to be promoted.
Amen.
On her podcast.
Yeah, actually, yeah. But I will say, Podcorn, I have 32 new...
What?
I have on Podcorn.
What the hell's Podcorn?
That hub. That hub for podcasters, not porn stars.
Jesus.
It's okay. 32 new invites for collaborations, yeah. But not all of them align
so
with
who's
me.
Who's going to pay her the most to be the first sponsor, cannabis sponsor? Because you know what? That's a risky area for
it
you,
is.
Too. So there needs to be...
myself on
you're
there.
Putting some skin in the game. The company needs to put some skin in the game. So you're not posting that until you've got a partnership.
Yeah. Okay, guys. All right. I'm going to wrap this up. We will see ya on the next episode.